Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Is going to mature the maturation of the next generation.
somewhere down along the line, there needs to be someone that's going to show them the way, A, and then letter B, someone that's going to actually help them to get down or along the way. And so when you get to a point where you're looking at how is this next male generation going to succeed, it's going to succeed by many who have succeeded demonstrating to them, and then not only many who have succeeded demonstrating to them, but those people also are helping them to get where they need to be. And I think that piece to the puzzle often gets left out, because I think there's many people that are showing the way, but I think there's not as many people helping the way. And so you have all these young men, you have all these bright-eyed young men with potential, strong, capable, with gifts and talents that are beyond what we could even think of. But they see where they want to get, they see what they want to do, but they don't know how to get there. And when we have that situation, what happens is people become frustrated, they become irritated, they become disappointed, and they get to a point where they give up, and they no longer want to pursue the success that they see themselves having. So that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about, am I my brother's keeper? If you want to be a part of this conversation tonight, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We're talking about, am I my brother's keeper? And so I was blessed to be able to grow up in a family where I had three brothers, two older ones, and one younger brother. And it was a thing where when we were in the house, we brawled and you know, had competition and fussed and fought with each other. But that type of fussing and fighting and brawling was on a family level. It was on like a sibling rivalry. But when it came to somebody else trying to do something to us, whether it was someone older than us, or someone that's trying to fight us, or somebody trying to do something to our family, then we would come together and we would stand together. And you know, it was amazing to see how that worked and how we got along so well, in spite of the challenges that we met in our community, particularly when we moved into Prince George's County, Maryland, during 1968. There was a lot of segregation, a lot of racism. Had to navigate that whole thing, and we stuck together. We stuck together, and you know, sometimes we would walk to school, sometimes we'd wait for each other to walk home. Always looking out for each other. And sometimes the older one would, you know, take on, you know, the greater challenge so that the younger ones could get home safely. And it was interesting to see my brothers, how they did that, particularly since I was the third in line for the oldest brother, and how they just kind of looked out for me, looked out for my sister, and continued to look out for my younger brother. And, you know, we just passed that thing on down because we understood the importance of looking out for your brother. But somewhere along the line, I think sometimes people could care less if you're their brother or not. And, you know, it's a sad phenomenon to see that, you know, you have brother against brother, as if you would have, you know, evil, you know, good against evil, because nobody wants to get along, because they're just thinking about me, myself, and I, which you can't have that in a productive, well society where people aren't looking out for each other. And, you know, when you have a society where people are not looking out for each other, what's going to happen is eventually all those that don't look out for each other, that need each other, is going to fade out and it's going to die out. And that community will fade out and that community will die out if they're not recognizing the need to help take care of each other. So, you know, am I my brother's keeper? You have to look at that and say, wow, am I? Am I really? Do I want to be? Why should I be? You know, how can I be? And what's in it? You know, what's the benefit? What's in it for me? And, you know, when you think about growing up and you think about, you know, all of the steps that you and I have made, we think and we say, wow, there were many people in my life, many people in our lives that helped us to get to where we are. And, you know, everyone at some point in time received instruction from someone. Someone set a good example. Someone spoke a word of wisdom. Someone took a little time. Someone had a little bit of patience with us. And because they did all those things, we were able to advance. We were able to succeed at whatever it was. And, you know, that's not to say that, you know, we want all the time a hand-me-out or hand-me, gimme. But there is something that is so socially strong or socially vibrant or socially connected or vitally connected to the next person, passing it on to the next person, being that brother's keeper. I know when I went through engineering school, there was called an apprenticeship program. An apprenticeship program is where you learn about engineering from the engineers who had already gotten licensed. And so it was your job to work closely next beside or alongside the licensed engineer in order to learn the trade, to learn the craft, so that you would be able to step in as the positions open, as people retire, as people move on, that you would be able to step into the position of engineering, having been trained, having been mentored, having been schooled in how to become a good engineer. And, you know, there were older guys that were willing, the most of them were willing to open up and share. Because a lot of times when you went in to the trade, you were green as a green tomato. It got right there, didn't even look like a tomato, just budding. But you had people that understood the benefit of training apprentices and engineers. They understood that they wouldn't be around forever. They understood that there needed to be good, qualified people in that particular industry. And because of that, they were willing to look out for the younger folks or the younger guys and girls that were coming into the industry. And, you know, some of them didn't like it. Some of them would hold information. Some of them would, you know, just be obstructionist and wouldn't try to allow you to glean and gain knowledge for whatever reason. And, you know, that's pretty much an attitude that sets up an industry for trade, or industry for failure, I'm sorry. And if you look at any successful industry, there's long-term success. In other words, there's residual success because of the attitude that, you know, this company or this industry is bigger than me. And in order for me to continue to see the industry that I love continue to grow, then I need to, you know, give back to, you know, those younger brothers and sisters that are coming behind me. And that's what they would do. They would teach. They would actually go back and they would teach They would actually train on the job. They would actually show you, you know, what you needed to do, you know, how this was in the book, but here's what it is practically on the job. And they were a great bunch of people that, that instructed us and showed us. And so, in a sense, those were our brother's keepers. You know, that brother's keeper is the one that is going to show you success and then show you how to get there. And that's what they would do. Same with any successful industry that has residual long-term success is that you're constantly training or retraining and developing, you know, help developing people, skill people to come in and to enhance a company. Many times when people make decisions about investing in exchange markets, stock market, they go and they look down into the how the company is structured and how they are situated to have continued success. Because many times investors are looking for long-term investments, and if they can get in on the ground floor and know that a company or organization has good infrastructure where they're constantly looking out for the individuals who are leaders in the company. Those leaders are constantly looking out for people who are potentially coming into the company, and there's a constant training and a retraining. There's a certain standard that people are looking for in that type of industry. And so investors look at those layers. They look down through the company and say, this company is solid, you know, from the top to the bottom. There's a plan, there's a business model in place that's going to generate success. And, you know, they weigh their risk based upon, you know, what the company or the organization is doing as far as looking out for, you know, those in the organization, whether it's through education, whether it's through training, whether it's through innovation, whatever it is, that's what people are looking for to say, hey, these people are looking out for each other. These people have been around a long time, or even if they're starting, these people understand the concept of making sure that you have a solid growth or farm club, if you will. You know, that would lead us to an analogy from, you know, the baseball standpoint where, you know, you always have, you know, AAA ball where these players are grooming to come to the big league. And, you know, you have a lot of professional players who willingly go down to the AAA leagues and work with the younger ball players, okay, in the farm clubs, preparing them to come up to the major leagues, to the big leagues. And, you know, you have to be willing to say, yes, I was a successful big league ball player, but I love the game of baseball so much that I'm not just going to rest on my laurels and say, hey, you know, I was a home run champ, I was MVP, you know, World Series, you know, champ, and, you know, this is what success looks like. But people that truly love the game, that love the industry, what they would do is they say, hey, you know, I want to give back. I want to give these younger guys the insight of what it takes to be a World Series champ, to be a, you know, a baseball home run hitting success. And not hold it to myself and not keep it to myself. And I believe when people begin to start understanding that concept and they love the industry or they love the trade or they love the business that they're in, they'll be willing to be their brother's keeper. They'll be willing to give back to those institutions. We'll talk about that a little bit more as far as with education. But we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. Again, if you want to be a part of this conversation, we invite you to call it at 347-324-5569. At 347-324-5569. We're talking about Am I My Brother's Keeper? We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Tonight, and my brother's keeper. And again, if you want to be a part of this conversation, we ask you to call in at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. When we talk about my brother's keeper, when we're talking about am I my brother's keeper, what happens is people understand the two things we call letter A and letter B, is that in order for someone to experience learning how to be successful, there needs to be someone who is successful to be an example to them as far as a mentor or an example or person. And then that mentor or example person who has been successful in that particular industry, business, trade, or whatever, then that person has to be willing to love what they're doing, their success, their business, their industry, their trade, whatever their craft is, and be willing to share it with someone else to come behind so that whatever their trade, whatever their craft, whatever their business is, will continue to be successful and bring the joy and the love and the appreciation to whatever it is for years and years to come. And so this thing of my brother's keeper, I would say the answer to that is, yes, I am my brother's keeper. And that I have a responsibility to the brother that's coming up, or we can say brother or sister that's coming up, that we would be willing to look out for them until they can look out for themselves. And, you know, that's what it boils down to. When you say, okay, I am my brother's keeper, and I'm going to look out for my brother, I'm going to look out for my sister until they have the wisdom, the knowledge to be able to look out for themselves in certain areas and be willing to give back and give back and give back until those individuals get there. And we talked before on the break, we're talking about school, we're talking about education, where many times colleges, they have what's called alumni, alumnus, or alumni groups, and what they do is they contribute money, they contribute financially, they contribute with their knowledge, and they constantly give back to the institutions of education that they had attended. And they do that because they love the school, they love their alma mater, they love the way the school was run, and they love, you know, how the atmosphere and whatever, you know, went on while they were there. And so they give back, so the students that are coming through this time will have similar or better experiences, or people who haven't come would want to be interested in coming and learning there And, you know, this has been done down through the years, and it's because people realize the fact that we truly are our brothers and brother and sisters keeper. We truly are. We have to look out for those people coming behind us, you know, until they can look after themselves. And then, you know, fast forward when you reach an age where you can no longer be the example as far as certain things, but you can be an example as far as in your age, as far as being a senior. But there comes a time where there's going to be a need for the teacher or the exemplar to be taken care of. In other words, there's going to come a time where the shift is going to come where someone was always looking out for you or someone was taking care of you. And so then there comes a shift later on in life where you might not be as strong, you might not be as fast, but somewhere along the line, those people that are now in their prime and able to take care of themselves, there comes a time where they have to remember the folks that helped them to get there, and in remembering the folks that helped them to get there, be willing to lend them a helping hand if there's areas in their life that they cannot take care of anymore. And so it comes full circle. It comes full circle. And, you know, am I a brother's keeper? Yes. I was in need, someone was taking care of me, and my brother's keeper, yes, because now I'm looking out for someone else. And, you know, that whole cycle comes through to fruition, but I think a lot of times people are not thinking about that, you know, when they're in their strong, their most, you know, productive years. They're not thinking about what's going to happen when they get a little older and can't go as long or as fast as they used to, that the energy that someone else who might have it is going to be a keeper for me. My brother's keeper is going to be someone that's going to keep me while I'm in my older age or I'm in my, you know, state where I can't be as strong or fast as I used to be. And so that whole concept of my brother's keeper is not for just for the young, but it's also for the old, it's for the older people. It's also for everyone who is living in a society or in a neighborhood or a community that wants wellness in their community. It's a benefit for the whole community if everyone looked out for each other. And I know I'm going to use this analogy, and everybody said, oh, yeah, that's the old analogy. But back in the day, particularly, like I said, we moved into the neighborhood in 1968, and people in the military, a lot of them, close to Andrews Air Force Base, people were, and the Pentagon, people were moving into the suburbs, and they were living there. And we knew everybody in the community. Every street, down every street, around the corner, we knew everybody. We knew everybody's kids. We played together. We stuck together. And it was a thing where, you know, the parents were under the mindset, this, we're going to make this a nice community. We're going to, you know, be great neighbors to each other, and we're going to be a lookout for our children. And when Ms. Waters or Ms. Jackson or Mr. Matthews and go on, or Mrs. Bradley or any of our neighbors around, the Browns, the Greens, the Mitchells, you know, I can go on and on around the streets, the Barbers, the Gilchrist, you know, all of these people, the Williamses, the Benders, the Kellys, you know, these names are just popping into my head, you know, and when you look at these things, you see, these are people that were in my life that helped to raise me, that helped look out for me. And, you know, it's a thing where you saying, wow, these people created a nice community, a nice neighborhood. And it was because they looked out for each other. They were their brother's keeper. And sometimes we would get locked out, and Nana across the street would come, and she would open her doors and let us stay in her house until my mother got home. And, you know, that was her bringing, you know, her sister's keeper and looking out for my mother and her family when my mother was working and her children were locked out. You know, it's just those type of things. But sadly, I see that too many times those are not the communities that we are growing up in. Sadly, it might be one or two people that, you know, in a neighborhood of 100 people that really look out for each other. And there's something where everyone's scared to communicate or open their doors or visit someone and befriend them. It's almost I don't know the words to say. It's almost, or it is disappointing that, you know, we don't want to be our brother's keeper. We want to be our good neighbors. You know, there were some folks in other communities where you had that one nosy neighbor, but, you know, that nosy neighbor looked out for the street or for the court or for the road, and they knew who was coming when it wasn't going, and you know that they would call the police if something strange was going on. My neighbors now, my parents are going out of town, if something's going on, my parents will tell them, you know, and they'll look out for the house, and you know, they'll call the police if something's going on strange, or they'll call me or my brothers or my sisters. Hey, something's going on at your parents' house. And it's that type of thing, that type of community, that type of neighborhood, that type of building relationships, as yes, I'm my brother's keeper, that I think is being lost. Like I said, I don't know what to call, I don't know what to say. But it's almost like nobody trusts each other. There's no trust, there's no, you know, there's no sense of family, sense of my brother's keeper. You live next to people, you know, they roll up out of their garage and pull out, they say hi. You know, you roll up, pull up out of your garage, you say hi. And, you know, you live for years and years in that type of situation. And it's I don't know. It's just a little, you know, just talking about it now makes me a little disappointed that, you know, to have experienced that as a younger person. And then to now see, you know, kids go up and down the neighborhood. You don't know whose kids it is. You don't know the kid's name. You don't know what school they're going to. You don't know their parents. You don't know anything about anybody. And it's what can I say? What is it? What is it? I'm going to take a break and see if I can come back with what it is. But I don't know what it is. It's something that's missing. You know, we're probing that tonight. If you want to be a part of that conversation, we invite you to call in 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. Hey. somebody like you, yeah.
And we're back. Again, this is Pastor C in the studio in Forestville, Maryland, wishing everyone a happy Friday. And we're just talking about the conversation of Am I My Brother's Keeper? And I was just sharing that don't know what happened to that sense of My Brother's Keeper in our communities and our neighborhoods, where too many times people that we live next to, live behind, live in front, we don't know their names, we don't know their children's names, we don't know them by face. Sometimes we wave, sometimes we don't wave, but we'll live next to them for years and years and years and not really look out, not really, you know, be a community. And it's just a disappointing thing, is the word that I was looking for. It's a disappointing thing to see that more and more people are isolated in their communities, and, you know, everybody's real private. No one wants anyone to get into their business. You know, I guess people think there's a lot of crazy people out here, and, you know, you can live next to someone for 10 years and, you know, say, hey, hi, and bye, good morning, good evening, good night, and, you know, something goes down, and you're like, well, you know, you talk to the news media, they were quiet, they did, they kept to themselves, it was this, that, the other, we would say hi, we would say bye, and, you know, you lived next to that person for 10 years and didn't know anything about the kids or their wives. And, you know, it's just, it's disappointing, it's sad, it's something that I think, you know, when we ask that question, am I my brother's keeper, is, you know, we really want to know, you know, do we want to be my brother's keeper? Do we want to be an example? Do we want to be an example of a good neighbor and show people, you know, what neighbors are? So when new people move into the community, you know, that we would show, you know, them what, you know, we're about. And it's tough. It's a tough situation, but, you know, we have to learn how to understand that it's important for our neighborhoods to survive and thrive, that we be good neighbors, that we do the things, you know, that would show ourselves as, you know, bringing our brother's keeper. We're going to try to get someone on the phone tonight to try to help us with this situation. I know it's a tough one. And, you know, when you have these tough situations, you sometimes need folk to try to help you. Get some understanding on what's going on.
God bless you. I'm not available to take your call at the moment.
And you have to really get some help, get some insight. People try to help you, but not able to get that person on the line. But when you think about people being good keepers, or good folks that look out for each other, it's not something that you know, mind doing. It's something that you know that you have to do and that it's the right thing to do. And, you know, sometimes I think we don't get to that point where we're saying, hey, this is the right thing to do. You know, my neighbor, something's going on, something happened. You know, this is the right thing to do. I need to get involved here. I think that part is missing. I think that part is really missing. I think we need to get back to that, you know, that you know, this is the right thing to do. I need to do it. I need to stop, you know, procrastinating. I need to stop acting like, you know, I don't see it or I don't want to be involved with it. And go ahead and do what's right. Let's see if I get someone else on the call. Looks like I'm having a little issue with the phone, but that's just one.
Hello.
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 Is this Randall?
Yes.
How you doing? This is Pastor C on the radio tonight.
Hi, Pastor C. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
That's good.
I need your help tonight. I was talking for the subject tonight, Am I My Brother's Keeper? And I was just reflecting back about when I first moved into my parents' neighborhood, how all the neighbors knew each other. We knew each other's kids. We all, you know, had, you know, conversations with each other. We looked out for each other's houses. You know, we kind of worked together to make the community better, whether it was, you know, shoveling snow, raking leaves, cutting grass, sweeping the street or whatever. But it seems that that type of relationship has gone by the wayside, and you can live next to or across the street from somebody for 10 years and all you say is hi and bye. And it seems like that makes our communities weaker. And so my question to you is, number one, are we still our brother's keeper? And I already know the answer to that, but why aren't we as a people today willing to get involved and do the right thing when it comes to our neighbors? There has to be a moral fabric or part of us to say, you know, I see my neighbor struggling, or I see my brother struggling, or I see my sister struggling, that I'm going to do, you know, the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
That is the attitude that we should take, but the people of today take a totally different approach, because that's the way it was when I first moved into this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But now that the newcomers are coming, they have that standoffish attitude. Mm-hmm. I can only say that the new generation of people, they say they have the love of God in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to reach out, be compassionate, and love thy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
It's called loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of environment that I grew up with. No child was hungry. No parent went without anything. If they were doing something, your neighbor was there to assist you, to help you, to love you, to guide you. You had the
right
midwives. You had people that sought after each other. This generation of people, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They don't want you to say nothing to their children. They don't want you to come over the property line.
Mm-hmm.
They are into themselves. As they say, they got the house on the hill with the Volkswagen in the garage. They don't need God. They don't need nobody.
Oh, my goodness.
Until things go wrong. But it's no greater reward than to have or live in a neighborhood where you are your neighbor's keeper.
Right.
The love.
Right.
In fact, I just talked about it this evening because my neighbor on the corner, she had a key to my house. I had a key to her house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Our children, it was love. My daughter's friends to this day,
mm-hmm,
when they're in town, they call
right
Mama Vi because they want some mac and tuna. They want,
uh-huh,
some baked beans. They want some of this because they knew that if when they called and said they were coming, I was
right
going to have it for them.
Right.
So people don't know the true meaning of love, taking care of children without a price tag put on. And
right,
when you can live and love your children, love your neighbors, mm-hmm, see, I got my little nephew coming in, giving me a hug. I kept his son all day today. That's what I'm talking about. You don't put a price tag on love. It's
right
there. It comes natural. So until people change their way of living and pray and turn to God, it's going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know. They weren't raised in that kind of environment.
Yeah,
it's hard to say that, but when you've experienced it,
right,
I see the change right here in this neighborhood.
Right.
The neighbors that moved away from here, we
right
still are the best of friends, all the way to Texas.
I know.
All the way to Texas.
These new ones coming in,
you get a barely get a hand throw up when they pass the house.
And I was saying, you know, when we first moved in, you know, in 1968 in my parents' neighborhood, Mm-hmm. I mean, the men would come together, and you know, they get a whole truck of. I remember one summer they got a whole truck of a dump truck of manure.
That's right.
They
passed it from neighbor to neighbor.
And they spread it over each other's, you know, yards and planted grass seed and you know, cut grass together. When it snowed, they would all get out and go snow, you know, take the snow and take the kids' places. And it was a thing where they looked out for each other. If someone got hurt,
that's
right.
That's there. Right. Absolutely.
So they would bring food down.
Food. That's right.
They would clean the house or whatever. If that man couldn't work, they would help him with his car and, you know, paint the house, paint gutters or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Because it was the right thing to do.
Yes, that's what they did. And it was just, it just came natural.
Right.
It was
right
a natural bond.
Mm-hmm.
A neighborly love.
These were the people that grew up, you know, some of them from the rural South, some of them
that's
in poverty.
Right. That's right.
And the only way that you could survive in those areas was to help each other out.
To help each other out. And
but I think we've got cityfied. Nothing wrong with being a city.
As they said, sadity. You may have never heard that word, but country folks, they sadity over there.
Right.
So they get
like
sadity.
Too good.
And they
I
don't,
got mine, you get yours.
That's right. That's right, and that's so ugly. That is so ugly because it's nothing like the love from heart to heart and breast to breast.
Yeah. And if you grew tomatoes in your garden,
oh my goodness,
they would give you tomatoes at their garden.
That, you got that right. Everything was shared and everything was done out of love. I remember as a little girl, I fixed homemade rolls every day.
Mm-hmm.
The people would come and bring the commodity cheese, the commodity
mm-hmm.
butter,
mm-hmm.
the commodity flour, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they called it commodity.
Right.
It wasn't food stamps and share and all that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The people that got that, they shared it with us.
Right.
So I would cook the bread and they would come and get it. Homemade rolls was like an everyday meal.
Exactly.
And people say, how long you been cooking? I've been cooking all my life, ever since I was a little girl. And I was a little girl making homemade rolls just like to come out the bakery.
Right.
And the people come by and get the rolls. And didn't charge you a thing. Didn't charge you a thing. So, you know, and that's part of me that exists today.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the, you know, the people that I meet, the people, I don't know. It has to be in you. It has to be in you. It has to be
right.
A gift from God.
And this is what I'm telling people is that, you know, those people who are successful, whatever it is, they have to be willing to show the examples. And then they have to be willing to show somebody else along the way how to do it.
You have to. You have to.
Because
and
if our communities are important, we have to show people how we got there and that you can make it and then take them by the hand and say, this is how you do it. This is how you make it. You know, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I'm my brother's keeper. There's so many things that my brothers taught me, you know, how to do that I didn't know. I just didn't know, but they set the example and they showed me, you know. And it's important for us to, you know, whether it's a mother or daughter, it's a father and son, you know.
Exactly.
You got to pass it along because this is what's going to give you that residual wellness in your community, that sense of community. But somewhere along the line, folks don't want to be their brother's keeper.
They don't. I mean, if a child needed something, if a child needed to be tutored, if a child, whatever you needed, it was provided by people that you knew in the neighborhood. Or even now, people do not want you to correct their children.
I know.
You tell a child not to do something, they look at you like you have committed a crime, knowing that what you advised this child to do or say is correct. but not my child.
Right.
Not my child. And that is the worst attitude that you could take when an adult is, you know, sharing and telling children the do's and the don'ts. We had our parents, but then we had some, like they said, takes a village.
Yeah.
We had a whole bunch of villages.
We respected the elders in our community.
That's right.
At the beginning of the show, I went down. I made everybody on the street. I knew it was the street.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew
that's
the kids.
That's the Quezon boy right there.
And you
that name meant something.
And you would talk to them a certain way.
Yes,
and you knew
absolutely.
That wherever
absolutely.
You are, they was going to get you. They was going to
you
call
you.
They were going to tell your parents.
That's a shadow hanging over you. Yes,
and
indeed.
And that's the way it was.
That's the way it was. And you respected that.
Exactly.
You respected that. You respected that. And if the world would change their ways and go back to that, but the world is so corrupt today, you can't trust anybody.
And that's what a lot
that's
of people say.
That's the sad thing.
That's what a lot of people say. They say they can't trust people.
You cannot trust. You cannot trust. The your neighbors, you know, they going to try to hit on the wife or the husband and all this kind of stuff. People go in these houses, they stay in the houses, they locked up in their own world.
And they watch these reality TV shows that show them all this crazy stuff happening.
And I resent, like, those housewives.
Uh-huh.
I don't know nobody. Maybe I'm behind time. It's the people I associate with. I don't know no women that get together and act like that.
No, not at all.
I don't.
That's too many other things to do.
I can't relate to that. And I made my daughter stop looking at that. I said, that's not reality.
Right.
I said, I have never met with my girlfriend and we curse each other out and talk like that and drink and smoke and act. I said, no, that's not. That's a bad thing on black women. That
mm-hmm.
sends an ugly message. And I know some women that are, oh, God, would never lure themselves to act
right.
like that.
Right.
And young girls, I know young ladies that would never act like that.
Right.
Behind closed doors or otherwise, you know. So that's money.
That's a money
that's
maker.
That's money. That's money. People will pay to get paid to do something
act
ugly like
act a fool. You got
yeah,
right.
That's a fool. I could not see myself doing that, and you know, especially
was,
your mother
just, you
and
know,
your sisters. No. Mm-mm.
When I was looking back, and it was just a little disappointing to see. You know, how people have stopped being, you know, their brother's keeper. People have stopped doing the right thing because it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's become isolated in their own little kingdoms and they're all behind those four walls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come out and they're waving their hand or they're driving next to someone on the highway, wave their hand and
mm-hmm.
they get to work and they'll tolerate each other for 8 hours on work.
8 hours. That's it.
The white folk go this place, the black folk
that's
go this
right.
place. Hispanic place go, people go this way,
mm-hmm.
and then when they go there, then they even segregate themselves some more.
They segregate themselves. They segregate. They really do, and that is so sad. That is so
it
sad.
Is.
When I raised my daughter, that was the main thing I wanted her to see. We live in a diverse world.
Yeah.
And you have to make that a part of your everyday life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It exists.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to pick, choose, and carry yourself in this world. Because it's not going to go away until God comes.
That's right. That's right.
And when he comes, it's all over. But you better be ready.
No, that's
you
right.
better be ready. I
so,
just told a friend of mine that came
question.
By here that you have to live it. To know it.
Exactly.
And if you don't live it, you will never know it.
That's it.
You will never know it.
That's it. So the answer to the question is yes, I am, my brother's people.
Yes, I am.
yes, I am. And I try to do it because it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. I can't see myself knowing that you're hurting, you're sick, or you're in need of something. I have it. I can do something about it, and I don't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is the saddest thing that anybody could do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our president is trying to get the whole world to see.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world to see. But some people just cannot relate to it.
Right, right.
They will not go out. They can know that this person is hungry here in the house, trying to feed their children, trying to work, trying to do this, and you won't reach out. You will not reach out. Even if it's in your immediate family, you won't reach out.
Isn't that something?
You will not reach out and know that you can do it. That is sad. When I learned how to drive, I said, if God ever blessed me to have a car,
mm-hmm.
I would take somebody anywhere, because that's what people did for me when I couldn't drive.
Right.
My daughter and I lived out here. It was like the wilderness when we first moved out here.
Wow.
No buses, no nothing. Two lane country road.
Yeah.
And we were our neighbors, my family, and you one of them, took
mm-hmm.
us everywhere.
That's
we
it.
Call, you need a ride, you got it.
That's it.
And I always said if I ever had a car, I would do the same for somebody else because it was done for me.
And that's
you
what it's all
to
about.
You have that kind of a connection with.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly. Don't forget where you came from.
My goodness.
Don't forget where you came from. It wasn't always like this. It wasn't.
Not at all. Not
but
at
I
all.
Grew up to appreciate what I saw my parents do for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it rubbed off on us.
Yes.
And I wouldn't dare have it no other way. I really wouldn't. Like my nieces and nephews and things.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came to my mom's house. She
sure
kept
did.
The kids.
Sure did.
She kept the kids. Nobody charged you nothing. And the pot was on the stove all the time.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All the time. And everybody ate at that pot.
That's right.
The neighbors, whoever came in.
That's right.
And the same thing is in this house.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And I always said, this house has good spirits because nobody ever lived in it but us.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have it no other way. No other way. And if you came in here and you weren't right, when my husband was living, you had to go.
I know that's right.
You had to go.
I remember that.
The same thing, you have to have the love of God to understand what it's like to be there for somebody else.
Yeah.
And some people are selfish.
Uh-oh.
They just don't know what it's like
Uh-oh.
To share
Uh-oh.
Or give or help somebody. Or help somebody. It's all about them. It's all about them. It's all about them.
Yeah.
And they live and die and leave it all back here. And they
mm-hmm.
who or what is doing what with it? They don't know. They
yeah.
Don't.
Well, I appreciate your time tonight.
Yes.
I was just a little disappointed when I started thinking about it, of what,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
what where we came from to where we are now as far as our
mm-hmm.
community. It's just
and
a
that's
little
why you see so much killing. That's why so much killing.
No respect.
That's why so much killing.
No appreciation for anybody.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So sad.
It is.
And it's just,
but There are a handful of people. God always has a remnant. There are people that are going to do the right thing because
they're
it's the right
thing.
They're
going to do the right thing. They're going to do the right thing.
And
you can
brother.
Feel it in their spirit. You can see it in the way they live, the way they talk, the way they carry themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And share.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that much.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It really does. A kind word.
Exactly.
A visit to the bedside.
Exactly.
A kind word.
I always love to see the mothers and some of those grandfathers and fathers
mm-hmm.
that be fussing you out the whole time.
Yes.
Fussing you out.
Yes.
Whole time.
All the time they're going to do it.
They're getting together. What you
put
mean.
You through.
And I find myself doing the same thing. I find myself doing the same thing. I said, Lord, that place I'm starting to look like my parents.
I know you're going to do it all the time.
Boston, whole time getting it together.
Mm-hmm.
When you come back by here tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to get this thing, but you need to do so-and-so and so, and you need to get so-and-so together, and you need to stop doing so-and-so. This is going to be the last time I do so-and-so.
How many times have you heard that? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I just laugh, and I look at my wife, and I laugh. You know,
I've heard those words so many times. Mm-hmm.
And the whole time getting it together.
Yeah. All the time. You know what you're going to do. But you got to get that off your shoulder.
Right.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
But it
brings back old memories, good memories. Yes, it keeps you happy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Happy.
And so like I said, we are our brother's keeper, and
we
encourage everyone tonight to continue to do the right thing, continue to look out for each other, because it's important for people to see their success.
Yes, yes,
and be successful, and have someone to show them how to be successful and help them along the way until they can
pass
up on their own, and then show somebody else.
Yes, you have to be there to guide and lead and advise them
wisely.
You have to know that and experience it to really see it. You can see it before it happens.
Exactly.
Or you can see if a person is headed in the wrong direction and nobody's there to curtail what they where they're headed.
Right.
Danger.
Yep.
It's a danger zone here. You're treading on thin ice.
Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Pump
your brakes. Beware of this. Danger. And it hurts to see the young people of the day. They start out good, and all of a sudden, it's all gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was there to lift them up, to guide them. Show them the right way. The right way. And we must continue to take that attitude regardless
right.
of what comes or what goes. You must never falter in opening your mouth. Speaking the truth.
And doing what's right. That's right.
And doing what's right. Because most people are ignorant to certain things. They've lived it, they've seen it so long, they would know right if you took them by the hand. If you took them by the hand. It's hard for some people to conceive, and I'm not exaggerating, that people can actually be kind to you and nice to you without having ulterior motive.
Exactly.
To try to get something from you, or to try to use you, or to try to take something from you.
Right.
You're just being kind, because that's you.
And they don't know how to handle it. They
can't handle it. They don't know how to accept it. And they're sad. They're sad that they have that mentality to think that, oh, they got something up that sleeve. They want something.
Mm-hmm.
They want something. They want you to give them something.
Exactly.
And they will avoid you. They will avoid you. They will avoid you. Rather than to.
That's what it is. We got to continue to be my brother's keeper. But
yes, we do.
Violet, we thank you for your time tonight. Help with us.
Thanks for calling. Enjoy it all the time. All the time. Mm.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you later. Have a good night.
Okay.
All right.
You have a good one. Okay. Bye-bye.
We thank God for Sister Violet Randall. And just helping us to talk about some things tonight. That's all we've been talking about. And my brother's keeper, and, you know, so important that we are and that we need to make sure that we're taking good care of each other, because we all need each other at the end of the day. We all of it we've got, you know. And it's good to go back and just reflect on how there was a time where it was more prevalent, where people took care of each other. We need to get back to that. So it's truly we are our brother's keeper. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. I thank everyone for listening. As always, if you want to go back in the archives, you can go back www.blogtalkradio.com, scroll down to the on-demand section and click on any of our previous broadcasts, as well as communicate with us through Twitter. That's PACDC316, and also through Facebook, social media. It's PASTORSAID, Pastors Aid. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Again, I wish everyone a happy Friday. Stay warm, stay blessed. And now that you have the resources, we want you to get connected. Good night, and prayerfully we'll talk to you on Sunday night. God bless.